The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Trace Your Roots. Every month is Black History Month at these destinations. Los Angeles. Black history is everywhere in the City of Angels. In downtown L.A., the renowned California African American Museum, 44,000 square foot facility, houses a collection ranging from the traditional African art to artifacts from the estate of Tom Bradley, L.A.'s first and only African American mayor. Visitors can also venture into the West Adams neighborhood to experience thriving Black culture, dine on soul food at Alta Adams, visit flourishing Black-owned gallery Band of Vices, or explore Leimert Park, a hub of Black culture. Tallahassee, Florida, home to Florida Agriculture and Mechanical University, and numerous Black heritage sites, Tallahassee has a rich history when it comes to the ways in which African Americans have had an impact on this country. From the Knott House Museum, which became the first location in the state to hear a reading of the Emancipation Proclamation, to the city's vital role in the civil rights movement of the 1960s, Florida's capital has led the charge for change throughout its history. Memphis. It is impossible to visit Memphis without feeling the influence of Black history and culture. It's reflected in the food, music, experiences, and energy. The city's important historical sites, impactful museums, and noted recording studios, packed with music history, make it a must-see destination of the South. From the National Civil Rights Museum, filled with artifacts and messages that tell the story of the civil rights movement up throughout the present day, to the Lorraine Hotel, where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in 1968, Memphis allows visitors to become engrossed in tales of the past and present. Oakland. Oakland is renowned for its diversity and deep roots in Black culture. The Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, for example, was founded in Oakland in 1966. Visitors can trace the organization's history through 12 significant locations across the city, starting with the official headquarters on 14th and Peralta Streets. Oakland's food scene is also not to be missed. It features Black-owned restaurants, including Everett and Jones Barbecue, Kingston 11, Solely Vegan, and many more. Richmond. As the center of the domestic slave trade in North America, the city of Richmond can claim to be the ancestral origin of 1 in 4 African Americans. It is also known as the Harlem of the South and a gateway to Black culture and the story that shaped this nation. The next article is titled Return of Cruise. If you've been eager to set sail again, you'll be glad to know cruising is back, but with some big changes. Royal Caribbean entered the ocean with the world's largest cruise ship, Wonder of the Seas, equipped with 18 decks and at 1,188 feet long. This megaship is bustling with amped-up experiences I had the chance to enjoy firsthand. Unsure of what to expect, I'm happy to report I felt a sense of safety while indulging my wanderlust. Royal Caribbean's protocols, including masks and smaller crowds, allow guests to enjoy the cruising experience without apprehension. Our teams around the world have been diligent in creating the safest possible vacation you can have during the pandemic, says Mark Tamis, Senior Vice President, Hotel Operations for the company. The safety protocols don't lessen the fun, though. Plunging down enormous water slides and scaling rock climbing walls were just two of my favorite activities. On one excursion, during a stop in Haiti, I tried one of the world's longest over-the-water zip lines. I felt my stomach drop as I sat in the harness, legs flailing 500 feet above the beach. But exhilaration quickly replaced apprehension as the lines were released and I glided over the aquamarine ocean, taking in the greenery of the horizon. It was magical. The next article is titled, Eat, Pray, Love, and Travel. Top Wellness Havens. Joali Being, Maldives. The Maldives welcomed its first and only immersive nature retreat last year on the island of Budofishi in Raw Atoll. The secluded getaway, a sister property of Joali Maldives, offers an array of wellness services and unique transformational spaces, including facilities for hydrotherapy, movement, and sound healing. Hotel Figueroa, Los Angeles. Hotel Figueroa is redefining rest, recovery, and well-being for its guests. They have converted one of their signature deluxe suites into a fitness and relaxation space. The hotel also provides in-room workouts with the personal strength and fitness mirror form, as well as rejuvenation treatments from Hyperice and supplements from Beam. Conrad Bora Bora New, a sanctuary for body, mind, and spirit. The Conrad Bora Bora New is nestled in a private cove on Matu To'apua. With the perfect ambiance for a serene getaway, the resort's Hine Spa is located between volcanic rocks and provides opportunities to unwind with a wide variety of balanced healing services. Castle Hot Springs, Arizona. Located about 50 miles outside of Phoenix, Castle Hot Springs is a retreat inspired by the Wild West, natural elements, and ancient thermal springs native to the site. The 1,100-acre property boasts world-class hot springs and promotes detoxing from electronic devices. Its culinary team works with local growers to create farm-to-table menus at their popular restaurant Harvest. Greece. Painted in the classic blue and white colors of the island, Greece has a prestigious destination spa hotel. It features a state-of-the-art wellness sanctuary. Tabacon Thermal Resort and Spa, Costa Rica. The boutique property is both a tranquil retreat and a pinnacle of sustainable luxury, set on more than 900 acres of rainforest reserve. Tabacon is an essential destination for anyone looking to take a break from the rush of daily life and have time to recharge. The next article is titled, It's the Sisterhood for Me. As Essence Festival of Culture returns to the stages of New Orleans, we talk to Black women about bonds forged and strengthened there and those they still hope to create. Partying at the W Hotel, eating alligator at Brienne's, watching Prince sing Purple Rain inside a packed Superdome. To listen to the memories Black women have made in the 26 years of the Essence Festival of Culture, EFOC, is to hear joy in the form of exuberant laughter and hand claps, the acknowledgement of the unforgettable experiences with kindred souls. EFOC is many things to many people, but perhaps most of all, it's an opportunity for Black women to build new friendships and fortify existing ones, to network professionally and relate personally, to experience pure delight together. Yes, EFOC is many things to many people, but the sisterhood is king. Whenever 40-year-old friends Ataya Morgan, Deborah Pryor De Leon, and Jasmine Bulger come together, it's a good time. The laughter never stops, even over Zoom. I feel we can do everything and nothing and have just as much fun, Bulger says. It doesn't matter what it is, I always leave fulfilled. The ladies first met in Harlem when they were in grad school. Over 30 years later, they've seen and done it all together, including attending the EFOC. The friends planned their initial Essence trip together in 2016. That year, they were regulars at Willie's Chicken Shack, sipping drinks and soaking them up with buttery biscuits. They also did a cemetery tour, which they managed to sleep through and still enjoy, as well as a white party and a Bad Boy reunion performance and an MC Light show. Despite their being friends for more than three decades, the trio's 2016 outing together broke new ground. That was our very first trip together, Morgan says. When I think about it, it's mind-blowing. They've since made up for lost time, planning getaways every year to match the carefree feeling that made the New Orleans experience such a success. It worked, Bulger says. I feel like we were always in sync. It was like, I need a nap. Then yeah, me too. I can use a nap. It was never, when are we going to go out? We were always just synced up, and there was never an issue, not one. We mesh really well together, Morgan notes. People say, well, you really don't know somebody until you travel with them. As easy as it is for us when we are home, that's how easy it was when we went away, adds Pryor De Leon. I think we all wear many hats in our individual lives, but when we come together, we don't have to be that person for someone else. You can just be Ataya or Jasmine or Deborah, without all the other layers or titles. I'm sure we'll be back to Essence Festival, she says. Oh, we'll definitely be back, Bulger replies. The next article is titled, We Call Ourselves the Essence Crew. Friends for more than 20 years, Nabila Belgrave of Atlanta, 47, and Tanika Thomas, 45, of Queens, New York, started out as co-workers in their native New York City. We just clicked, Thomas recalls. Belgrave threw Thomas her first work baby shower in 1999, and from then on, they were stuck together. In 2004, the great work friends decided to attend their first Essence Festival and quickly discovered they weren't alone in their interest. Others in their circles, including in-laws, other co-workers and girlfriends wanted to go too. Before they knew it, Belgrave and Thomas were planning a trip for more than 20 women of varying ages. Hotels, flights, all they had to do was show up at the airport at a certain time because we took care of everything, Thomas says. Their first night in NOLA, they planned a meet and greet at the Court of Two Sisters restaurant. And while there were no expectation for the women to stay together the whole time, their best memories were made as a group, like when they saw Prince's performance at the Superdome. We had a lot of people who were definitely Prince fans. That was the highlight, Belgrave says. By the end of the weekend, the ladies were like family. To this day, she adds, we all call ourselves the Essence Crew. That crew would go on to attend two more Essence festivals. In addition, they were inspired to travel around the country, from Las Vegas to Miami, even taking a bus trip to Atlantic City for a boxing match so they could be together again. If it was feasible, Schedule-wise, everyone was like, let's do it, Belgrave says. Even if they didn't want to see boxing, it was still the crews getting together again. The Essence crew, let's go. And while life has taken all the women on different paths over the years, when they do see one another, they're mentally right back in NOLA, says Belgrave. We may not travel as often these days, but when Tanika's having a graduation party for her daughters, it's like, oh yeah, auntie, how are you doing? Remember that time at Essence? We have that. That's a common ground. The next article is titled, I Really Need to Get My Butt Down to Essence Festival. Essence has been a presence in Chanel Janai's life since she was a child. Her aunt is a longtime subscriber, and it was while flipping through her issues that the 28-year-old Orlando resident learned of the Essence Festival of Culture. For a time, I was too young to understand it, but once I got older, I was like, I really need to get my butt down to Essence Festival. This year, she'll attend in person and won't be going alone. After sharing a tweet about how nice it would be for Black women in media to show up together, she ended up assembling a wealth of travel companions. Everybody was like, let's do it, she recalls. When she sent out a form to see who was serious, she received 138 responses. She's now working with 20 other women to bring Black women creatives down to New Orleans with the help of sponsors through the Media Mavens Times hashtag Essence Fest Takeover. She's hoping to create bonds that will outlast the festival experience. A lot of the ladies I'm friends with on social media, and we're always in each other's comments. Go ahead, girl, I see you, she says. I want that energy in person. I feel Essence Fest is the perfect place to let that shine. The next article is titled, Nobody Does It Like Black Women. This year will be my fifth time, Danielle Gray, 40, says of her EFOC track record. The influencer and fashion beauty expert has often been asked by brands to attend and promote their events. Busy bouncing from venue to venue since her first Essence Fest experience in 2012, the native New Yorker didn't really take part in the fun the way most did until 2019, which happened to be the last time the festival was held in person before the pandemic. They had Michelle Montano there and my family from Trinidad, she recalls. The fact that a Trinidadian artist was on stage at Essence Fest just made me so happy. She also saw one of her favorite artists, Missy Elliott, and loved the show New Edition, sans Ralph Tresvant and Johnny Gill put on. But not until the festival went virtual due to COVID did she realize the aspect of the event that she missed and cherished most, being among Black women. The way that we turn out, the way we compliment each other, the amount of Black women businesses that I got to know, the number of Black women in general that I got to see and meet. It's definitely the sisterhood for me, she says. Now set to be in NOLA for EFOC's live and in-person return, she's looking forward to the food and shows, but most of all, to the connections. It's always the camaraderie among Black women that draws me, she says. Our energy is unmatched. Nobody does it like Black women. The next article is titled, Culinary Star. As a Black, queer, single mother, Chef Star May is no stranger to adversity. But now she's on top of a bustling culinary scene in Nashville. Executive chef at Nashville's hip restaurant and CBD-centric coffee shop, Anzi Blue, 42-year-old Star May, once believed such lofty roles would elude her. For more than 20 years in the food service industry, they did. Cooking for others was her calling. As a child in Alabama, May watched her grandmother make meals every Sunday for as many as 50 relatives. She got her chance to contribute when she cooked her first dish, grits, at age 4. As an adult serving in the U.S. Navy, she was whipping up meals for fellow servicemen and women. People were like, "Star, your food is really good," she recalls. By my mid-20s, I was like, this might be a thing. But once out of the military, the single mother of a young son struggled to readjust to civilian life. "I ended up in the penal system," she says, adding that she served 3 years. After her release, she had a hard time finding work and decided to dive headfirst into cooking. She moved to Florida and at 29 started as a dishwasher at a restaurant in Pensacola, working her way up the ranks. The head chef, recognizing her talent, taught May how to do everything from dicing onions properly to making special sauces. From there, May sought interesting gigs around the country, including cooking at fishing camps in Alaska. Her son was cared for by her parents and siblings, but such adventures did not translate to changes in her positions at the restaurants where she landed. She could do it all, but everywhere she went, executive chef's roles seemed to go to white men. "Sometimes I even had to train him on what his job was supposed to be," she says. "So it wasn't only insult, it was injury too." It happened so often that May decided to leave food service. 8 years ago, she moved to Nashville to attend school for aircraft maintenance. But soon after she arrived, a friend who worked at ANZI Blue told her they needed help creating a breakfast menu. Just like that, May was back in the kitchen, this time earning the title of executive chef. "After 20-something years, I had given up on ever being captain of the ship," she admits. A year into the fulfillment of May's top chef fantasy, ANZI Blue has become a culinary hotspot, touted for best brunch in the city by food publications, thanks to May's chicken and waffles, shrimp and grits, and more. She's also created popular themed brunches from gospel to drag. In addition, May recently released her first cookbook, A Star Among Us, A Chef's Story, sharing the menu she's designed at ANZI Blue. As a proud queer woman, she released the book in June for Pride Month, with proceeds going to Trevor Project, which is known for suicide prevention efforts in the LGBTQ community. But she's most grateful these days to have a bond with son Trenton, now 21, that she couldn't have during tumultuous times in her life. Mom had to be very transparent and admit what the issues were and apologize to my child, she says. Professionally and personally, May is seeing all of her dreams come true. "All my life, there's been a ceiling," she reflects. "Now it's open. There are no limits for me." The next article is titled, "The Essential Back to School Planner." The fall season is predictably chaotic for parents, but sound advice from education, mental health, and productivity experts can help you successfully manage the stress. Supply list, syllabus requirements, and extracurricular plans. Oh my! While we can't lessen the many demands and responsibilities that come with the back-to-school season, we can suggest ways to reframe your approach. We tapped a team of professionals for tips on everything from reducing anxiety to building good relationships with teachers to help you and your student ace the academic year. Advocate for your child. A professor of language, literacy, and culture at the University of Washington suggests ways to speak up for your kids. If there is a cultural or racial mismatch, initiate discussions. Let teachers know who your children are rather than letting them make their own assumptions, she says. Next, inform educators of your child's personality traits. Say, this is what my child enjoys, or sometimes he can get a little bit jittery, she advises. Then offer strategies for challenging moments, like if this happens, these are things that you could do to help. Get to it before teachers do. Stay connected. Since the pandemic began, technology has been a vital tool for education. Vel Rustine Shaw, a teacher at Peeble Brook High School in Mableton, Georgia, sees overwhelmed parents who feel out of the loop. Technology can help them stay connected to educators. Sending a short email like, Ms. Shaw, I'm reaching out to make sure everything is okay, can make a huge difference, she says. Students know somebody is checking in on them outside of us. Ward off stress. A survey done by the Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago in 2020 found that kids are more stressed than ever. If you notice changes in their mood or behavior, or they are starting to isolate themselves a bit more, try having deeper conversations with them, says psychologist and founder of Therapy for Black Kids, Dr. Turner. It's important to be really direct, he explains. Ask, did something happen at school that made you angry today? Parental expectations can also be a source of stress for students. Encouraging kids to do their best is one thing, but pressuring them to get all A's is a different story, Turner says. Instead, support things they have an interest in and practice flexibility. If things don't go the way that they thought, it's going to increase their level of frustration, he adds. You don't want to set them up to have these rigid expectations. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Thank you.